blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 267, all stanzas. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. 1-4 of 267. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, the 9th chapter, Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily in the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, and the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be in the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, of the heavens and of the earth, we may read in thy holy word, when thou permittest us in this evening to gather for this special occasion, of that which thou hast taken care of before that we were born, and before and that it even ever became necessary, already in the stillness of eternity, in the council of peace, wherein thou hast made a covenant with thine only begotten Son. And thy servant may declare, in the days of the New Testament, and that which thou hadst also fulfilled in accomplishment of the promise, and all that was declared unto thy people for so many ages already, in the pattern of the heavenly things that was given unto them in the way of the shadows, for many years, for the faith of thy children. That thou hast therein proclaimed that holy gospel, that thou hast given hope, even in the life of those in whom in themselves there was no hope. And thou hast declared it unto them, but thou hast given it in the way of shadows for so many years. But we may now live as we have read in the end of the world. And that is a time wherein thou hast brought it forth in a fuller declaration. And when we with our children may hear the meaning of all these things, then we are with our posterity so greatly privileged to live in the time in which we do, wherein the ignorance of all that had to take place is now taken away, and that which was before in the bud is now opened into a precious flower, which may be seen in all its beauty when thou wilt open it in the life of thy people. Lord, and there is so much that is fit for thy church in the declaration of the gospel. So much that is fit for those who are guilty and those who are polluted and those who have no rights from their own side, those for whom it is an impossibility. Then there is so much that is declared, which may be to the comfort of those who are not able to help themselves. And that is so also in the way of thy ascension into heaven, which we may commemorate in this day, when thou wast given the crown upon all that thou hast accomplished for the salvation of thy people. Lord, thou hast received that blessed place of glory, after that thou hadst so humbled thyself, so that men upon this earth whose eyes were blinded and who were never opened by thy Holy Spirit did never see who that thou wast. They did not see thy glory. They did not see thy Godhead. They did not see thy beauty. And so they did reject thee. So they did mock thee. So they did even crucify thee. But there were those unto whom thou hast opened it, that thou hast given eyes to see, and that may also declare it. Oh, that thou may look on us also and our dear children. Oh, when there is no room in our hearts for these matters, then they shall all testify against us in that great day of days. And thou knowest that there is no room of ourselves by nature, when we are seekers after all that is carnal. But we may commemorate in this day that which is spiritual. That thou may look then on each and every one of us. And they are matters that we are not able to comprehend. They are so far above our understanding. But wilt thou give true faith unto thy children, that they may behold thee for a moment in this evening, for the comfort of their poor soul. And that thou may look upon us when we still travel for our own account. Oh, that thou may draw us with the blessings which we may hear of in this evening when thou wilt give it unto us to speak. Oh, that those blessings may become precious unto us. Wilt thou draw us then with also the warnings, and that we have also read in thy word in this evening. For we have read, even as thou didst go, and so shalt thou even come the second time without sin unto salvation. And it will be to gather thy church and to bring them in that final place where that thou art. And it will be to cast out those that would not have thee to reign over them into that eternal pit where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And thou, as the King of glory, shall but speak one word, and thy servants, then the angels, they shall come in that judgment to bind the wicked and to cast them out eternally. Oh, then it shall not be as in the day that thou wast upon this earth, when thy mouth was closed, and when thou camest in the way of thy humiliation, but thou wilt appear in all thy glory. And thou wilt appear as the King of thy church. And thou wilt come to deliver thy church from all their enemies.
and thou wilt have the victory over every enemy. O Lord, that thou may then give us to hasten for the sake of our life, and that we may seek also to be included in that blessed company that will glorify thee forever and forever, and that thou so may remember thy own beloved people and thy own elect for whom thou hast decreed, for whom that thou hast merited, and unto whom thou wilt apply a blessed and eternal salvation to the glory of thy great and holy name. O thou that dost dwell at the right hand of thy Father, wilt thou then so look upon us in this evening, that we who are carnal may in this night receive a good hour together, and consideration of the things which are eternal, and that our hearts may then be drawn, and that thou may look on also those who are not able to gather with us when there was desire. Oh, that thou may look and remember them, and when there is no desire, wilt thou remember them also. And when there is sickness, when there is weakness, and when there are difficulties of the mind and of the body, and when there are widows, widowers, and orphans, Lord, wilt thou look on each and every one, remember the children and the youth, and when they may be together with us in this evening, that thou may give us to speak a word which may be also for them, not only for the natural understanding, but may it be for their young souls. Do look upon thy servants, thou who hast called and who hast sent. Oh, we beseech thee once again, and that thou may look upon us in the week to come, and that thou may gladden us with thy deeds, as thou alone art able to do. Wilt thou remember us then tonight, forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 183, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, and thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest a captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by men who did rebel, who pray in that now Jehovah, their God, with them may dwell. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 183. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. The letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. That was, congregation, the sentence of death. For the men, for the women, and also for all the little children. Sealed with the king's ring. Thus the sentence of death in the midst of all of the enemies of the true people of the Lord. It was another attempt of the prince of darkness to completely destroy the work of God and to exterminate and that true people of the Lord, that true church of God. And we read that city of Shushan was perplexed. They did not know what to do. What could they do? Because the power of that enemy was so much greater than their own power. Is that so with you also? That the power of the enemy that is greater than your own? Is that so also with you? As it was with that city, that you know not what to do? Until when? It was the consternation of the people until they receive a message. That is a message from Esther, a message from the queen, a message that says, I will go in unto the king. And so she goes. And she goes as the representative of her people to appear before the face of Ahasuerus, to appear before the face of the king. And she is willing to give her life for her people. If I perish, I perish. But we know the history. The golden censer is held out to her, and she is receiving all her desire. She is receiving all that she asks, not only for herself, but she is receiving everything that she is asking also for her people. And thus, we have a blessed representation of that which we wish to consider together in this evening out of the words of our text. Hebrews 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So far the words of our text. The appearance of Christ in his ascension. First, the place of this appearance. Second, the manner of this appearance. And third, the purpose of this appearance. The appearance of Christ in his ascension. First, the place. Second, the manner. Third, the purpose of this appearance. Our text is, congregation, from the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Thus, this epistle that is written to the Hebrew Christians, those that were living in Judea and in Jerusalem. That was a very, very difficult place to live, children. Why? Well, you know what has happened there to the Lord Jesus. There were so very many enemies of the Lord Jesus, and they have put him on the cross. They have crucified him. And afterwards, they have also taken those who believed in the Lord Jesus, those who taught the name of the Lord Jesus. So very, very many enemies were there in Judea and in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, he is not in Jerusalem, but he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Thus, he is working in Asia Minor, we would say, and that he is working upon the mission fields. And the apostle is writing back to those who are living amongst so many enemies. And the apostle Paul is arming them. He is arming them with arguments concerning the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that those enemies, they were also those who were very religious, because the enemy in the church, and that is not, that is the enemy that is not only on the outside, but is often in the church that was in that time, that is also in this time. So we have, we may read of the Judaizers that may go even into Asia Minor, and the apostles, they have much to deal with by those who are enemies of the truth. And the apostle Paul, he now writes unto these Hebrew Christians, and he arms them with arguments to show that indeed the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of all the types and of all the shadows and of all the prophecies that may be read of in the Old Testament. Thus, he proves that that Levitical priesthood, and that is a priesthood that has been fulfilled in the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why does the Apostle Paul do this? He does this to help those persecuted Christians, that they may never forsake the truth, that they may never forsake the faith. What do we read? Paul says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Then in our text, he especially speaks about the fulfillment of that part of the law of ceremonies, wherein the high priest once a year has gone into that Holy of Holies. That is a place that signified something in the tabernacle. And then that most inner sanctuary, that was the signification of the presence of God Himself. That was a place that was holy, that was a place that was set aside, that was a place wherein no man was allowed to enter except one, children, who was that? That was not even just the common priest, but only the high priest. And then not on any day of the year, but only one day of the year, that the high priest was permitted to enter in beyond this veil. And then not, we read, without blood. This place and the entire tabernacle, that was a word, that was a word in picture unto the children of Israel, how that the Lord was able to dwell amongst a sinful people. When we would see how that tabernacle existed within the camp of Israel, then we would see how that the Israelites, they are each given as tribes their places that they may camp round about that tabernacle. And then in the midst of that camp is dwelling the living God. The representation in the Ark of that covenant. And that living God who was holy, who was unapproachable. How is it possible that such a holy God is able to dwell in the midst of this sinful people? That was now the message of that tabernacle. Is that now also our question? How is that possible? That holy God may take up His abode in our midst, amongst us as a sinful people? How is it now possible, especially, that holy God, that Holy Ghost, may take up His abode in my wretched, in my sinful heart? And so the Lord instructs His people, because between that most holy place and that congregation of the Lord are many representations of whom? Do you know, children? Many representations of the Lord Jesus. Because when you will come in the door of the tabernacle, first is a laver there. The priests had to wash themselves. Then was there an altar, a brazen altar. Thus we read of sanctification. We read of justification. All of these representations of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be washed in His blood, to be forgiven by His blood, that the representation of that sacrifice upon that altar, the priesthood, the high priesthood, and so on. So many representations, only one way, wherein that holy God is able to dwell in the midst of that people, that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that people, they have their picture even from the very beginning. And then on that great day of atonement, Then that blood that was brought in a special way by that high priest through past that very thick veil wherein the Lord had to hide himself from his people because of sin. Then that high priest would bring that blood once a year into that most holy place. That was the most solemn day of the children of Israel in all their holy days. But now Paul, he speaks in our text. He says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." What does he mean? He says, now the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment. And he is not entered into the literal holy places. He has not stood in that tabernacle. He has not been in high priest as the high priest of this earth. Not in the tabernacle, not in the temple later. No, he has not entered into that most holy place, which the apostle says are figures of the true, figures of the place where God is dwelling. But he says, into heaven itself. That is the place, he says, where Christ, as that true high priest, has entered into in his ascension. Heaven itself. What is that, young people? What is heaven? There are three ways the Bible speaks of heaven. That is, first, the atmosphere where the clouds are, you know that. The second one, where the stars are and the planets are. Children, sometimes you study that in science class and you are looking into the heavens. You may see the clouds. You may see the rain. You may see the stars. That is the first heavens. There is the second heavens, where the stars are. And then there are the third heavens. Oh, may you ever see in that place? You say, I cannot see in that place. Where is that place? That is the place where God dwells. That is the place of his holy sanctuary. No, you cannot see in that place, boys and girls. Not also in this evening, when we speak about the ascending of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot see in that place. No, not with our natural eyes. And yet, there may be a people who may receive a view by moments of that place with an eye of faith. Those were the figures of the true, but this is heaven itself. What we read is the place that Christ appeared in the presence of God. That is not easy for us to understand as finite beings, because you say God is everywhere, and that is true, omnipresent. And yet, in a very special way, we read that the Lord says, I dwell in the high and holy place. That is that place where his glory and his majesty that is made evident. And that is the place where all of the holy angels and the holy beings and the souls of God's departed church may now dwell with God by beginnings forever and forever. And we read of many appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in the 40 days that the Lord Jesus has spent here upon this earth after his resurrection. He has appeared to those that loved him. He has appeared to those who mourned his death. How glad they were to see him. When he has arisen from the dead, oh, how glad they were that he appeared unto them, that he showed himself unto them. Because that was a testimony to them of the truth of his own resurrection. And now we can understand when the Lord Jesus is ascending into heaven that there is a certain sadness. Because the Lord Jesus, he has said to his disciples that he is going to go away from them, and then they were going to be sad. And that was so. And he went away from them when he departed in his death. And he has returned to them again in his resurrection, and then they were so glad. And then they would dwell with him forever. That is what they would desire. Can you understand that, children, young people? That they wanted to keep him there forever. And now the Lord Jesus, he is ascending into heaven. Then we can understand that there is a certain sadness when those whom we love do depart from us, and we have them not day by day as we had before their company, then there is sadness. But there is one comfort, that is when we may know that it is well for our beloved. When we may know that they have departed from this world into that blessed world. When we may know that their soul that was taken unto God himself is that not our only comfort when we have to leave our loved ones. When they are taken away from us. And then sometimes we say we would not wish them back again. And so now it was also for the disciples, because we read that they return unto Jerusalem. How? Not with sadness, not downcast, but we read that they return unto Jerusalem with great joy. Why? Now he no longer appeared to them. But now he went to appear, the apostle says, in the presence of God. Thus the ascension of the Lord Jesus, that was not just a virtual ascension, but it was a real, it was an actual ascension of his body, there to appear in the presence of God. He did not in his ascension just change into the omniscient one, or rather the omnipresent one in his human nature. No, but he appeared in heaven itself in his human nature, no longer upon the earth, though with his majesty God had grace and spirit, he is at no time absent from his people. Now to appear in the presence of God. He went to appear before the Father and the Holy Spirit. That is, before the face, as it were, of God. To be seen by them in his immediate presence, in his immediate communion. How different from a short time ago, when the Lord Jesus was upon that cursed tree, and when the face of God was hid from him, that incomprehensible hiding of the face of God from his only begotten Son. Oh, how different now in his exaltation, now to appear and never to be as forsaken by his Father again. Thus we see in our second thought then the manner of his appearance and our appearance, young people in this world, that means something. How do you appear in this world? Because when we appear in this world, then we are seen by other persons in this world, and our appearance that tells much about who we are. whether we are poor or whether we are rich, that is often seen in our appearance. But also whether we are a sloppy person or a neat person, that is seen in our appearance. It is seen in our appearance whether we are a worldly person or maybe, is that so? Seen in your appearance that you are a member of the church. Our appearance that sometimes says something not only about our character then, but it says something also about our work sometimes. When you see a pilot, then you know him by his appearance. When you will see a baker or a policeman or a minister, then you will know him by his appearance. There are those in this world who like to appear to be someone who they are not, that we see in the world of entertainment, to take on ourselves completely the character of another person. God has given us our own character, and we try to fit ourselves into the character of another. Thus, wickedly departing from the word of the Lord. And now, how was it with the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ hid himself. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ did not show himself. And yet when the Lord Jesus showed himself, he always showed himself as he truly was. He had several offices. He also had several natures. And when he revealed himself, he showed himself to his church in those offices and in those natures. There, the manner in which he appeared. And in our text we read, now to appear in the presence of God. So he says now, that means in the present time. Now is opposed to before. Thus, the apostle says there is a difference. Did the Lord Jesus never appear before in the presence of God? He did. That is where he came from. Before that he came in the way of humiliation, then he was standing before the face of God. And now the apostle says that there is a difference. There is a difference between how that the Lord Jesus appeared in heaven then and how that the Lord Jesus is appearing before the face of his Father now. What is that difference? When the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and then we can read that he returns to the place which he had come from. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And yet the Lord Jesus returns is so different. What does the Lord Jesus have now that the Lord Jesus did not have before that he came? The Lord Jesus, before that he came, had no human nature. When the Lord Jesus existed as the triune God before his incarnation, then he existed as a spirit. God is a spirit. And so that was not only for God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, but so that was also for God the Son. And now his divine nature that has not changed. but he has intimately united that divine nature to a human nature in his conception by the Virgin, by the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary. Then he did not bring that human nature with him, passing through Mary as through a pipe, as it is said by some. But he has taken that human nature on him in his incarnation. Thus, when the Lord Jesus returns again unto his Father, then the Lord is returning with a human nature that he did not possess before that he came in his humiliation. And this is now how the apostle says that now he appears before his Father. That is, with his human body, that body that was prepared him, a body hast thou prepared me, who has prepared him that body. That was the Father himself. Thus, when he returns unto his Father, then he returns with that body that was given unto him by his Father. That was a human nature that he was willing to take upon himself in his incarnation. In fulfillment of what? Of his promise. That was the promise that he made to his Father already in the stillness of eternity. That was the promise that he made to his Father already in the Council of Peace, that he would be willing to take upon himself this body in order to save his people. Thus, when the Lord Jesus returns once again into heaven, and when he is now appearing, as we read, in the presence of God, then that is always, as it were, a reminder, if we may say it in a human way, a reminder to the Father of his covenant. That is, a covenant that has not just one side, but that has two sides. And that appearing in that human flesh, that is to appear as one who has fulfilled his side of that covenant. That is to appear as him who may say to his Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest unto me to do. And that human flesh, that human body, that is, as it were, a reminder unto the Father that there is now something else that is due unto him. That there is a second side of that covenant that still needs to be fulfilled. That is, that which was promised by the Father unto the Son, that also now must be accomplished. Now to appear in the presence of God, then Christ does not even need to speak. Only his presence, the presence of his human flesh, that is already a speaking unto his Father. Only his appearance,
That is already a demanding of the Father. A demanding of what? A demanding that the Lord will give to him his portion. That the Lord will finish for him and now what he has promised and give unto him a seed which shall serve him. But there is more. Because we said that to appear, that is often saying something also about our condition and our work in the resurrection. The Lord Jesus received a glorified body. What does that mean? The Apostle Paul says, the body that is sown in corruption, that is like a seed, children. Now the seeds, you see that, the farmers, they are putting the seeds into the ground. It is sown in corruption. What is going to happen? It is going to die. And then something different is going to come up. Completely different. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. What does that mean? It will never die. It will never corrupt anymore. It is sown a mortal body. It is raised immortal. That means that body of the Lord Jesus that was raised in a different condition than it was sown in the earth. How is that different? Well, then there are no more of the consequences of sin. All the blemishes of the body, they are all done away. There is no more weakness. There is no more necessity to eat and to drink for that body to be sustained. But it is now a glorified body. And thus all the blemishes are gone. Is that so, children? Say, minister, you make a mistake. Then you are right. Because there is something that is not gone. Do you know what it is? What was it? In his hands there is a mark, isn't there? Was that gone? No, that was not gone. That was not gone. And in his side, there is also a mark. That is not gone. He showed them. He appeared. He appeared. And he does not only appear to his church for the comfort of his church to show those marks in his hands and in his side. But he is also appearing before his Father so. Thus, those marks, they are speaking again also unto the Father. That he is appearing how? That he is appearing as that lamb that was slain. John saw him as such. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. So John saw that the Lord Jesus was appearing in heaven as that slain lamb, thus demanding of his Father the reward for his active and his passive obedience. And now for what purpose? Let us sing first. 303, 1 and 2.
the Lord unto his Christ hath said, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies submit to thy command. A scepter prospered by the Lord, thy mighty hand shall wield. From Zion thou shalt rule the world, and all thy foes shall yield. 1 and 2 of 303. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Thus the apostle speaks about the purpose of his appearing before his condescension. The Lord Jesus appeared in heaven. He appeared in heaven for his own glory. He was also the creator and the maker of the heavens and of the earth. And there is nothing that is taken away of that glory, but indeed there is something added unto that glory. As the apostle says, that now to appear in the presence of God for us, thus he appears in in a new function. How does he appear? He is now appearing there as a representative. He now appears there not only for himself, but now he is appearing there also for others. Who does he represent? The apostle says, us. Who is that? You say that is his people. That is correct. That is his elect. That is his. That are chosen that never begun eternity already. They are those whom he loves. They are those for whom he was incarnate. They are those for whom that he has suffered. When Esther went in unto the king, for whom did she go? Then she went in for her own people, for the Jews. But congregation, what kind of people were they? When she went in before the king, then she went in for a people who were condemned. And so Christ, he is going in also for a people that are from their own side condemned. Can we now find one more qualified to stand for a condemned people to appear before his Father? What does the apostle say? We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It is he who is appearing in his human flesh. Oh, then, people of the Lord, from his side you need say nothing. From his side you need not even pray. Because all the needs, they are known unto him. Oh, you pray not to inform the Lord of anything. You pray because it is commanded you of the Lord himself. A compassionate high priest on the other side, God himself, the only begotten Son of God, who more qualified now to stand for that people. But congregation, he is there. And when he is now appearing there, then we may ask ourselves tonight, is he now standing there? Is he appearing before his Father for us? Is he appearing there for me? Is he appearing there for you? Is not this the thing that is now so necessary for us to know, that we may have any comfort as we go through this life? You say, can we know this? The elect, who are they? That is the hidden decree of the Lord, and that is so very, very true. There are things that are secret, then there are other things that are revealed. And yet in a subjective way, then it is still possible for us to know these matters for ourselves. When the Lord Jesus is appearing before the presence of God, then before whom does he come? Then he comes before his Father, and he comes before the Holy Spirit. And what is then the purpose? The Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples. And what did he say unto them? That he was going to go away from them. And when he was that was necessary that he went away. Why? Because when he would go away, then he would send unto them the Holy Spirit. Thus, when he is before the face, the presence of God, then he is also in the presence of that Spirit and speaking to and commanding that Holy Spirit, sending that Holy Spirit forth. Thus, the working of that Holy Spirit within our own heart, that is now evidence that we are included in that us of whom the apostle is speaking. There to appear in the presence of God for us. And when we may be the recipients of that Holy Spirit, when we may know the movings of that Holy Spirit in our heart, then we may know that he is standing and appearing there also for us. Say, how do I know the movings of that Holy Spirit? Oh, we have not time to say everything, but how is the Lord Jesus now appearing before his Father in heaven? He is appearing as the representative. And that Holy Spirit, he is not speaking about the things of himself, but he is showing the things of Christ unto his people. Thus, that Holy Spirit, he is working a need in the heart for that Son of God who is appearing as the representative of his people. Thus, we may now ask ourselves, does he appear also there for me? Is there now any working within me that I also stand in need of such a representative? Do I also receive that working of the Spirit that makes me to know that I have soon to stand before a holy and a righteous God, and that I am not able to stand there on my own account? Or do I realize, do I feel by the working of that Spirit how that my mouth that is closed, so that I will have no answer of myself to give unto God in that judgment? That I am without hope, that I am without expectation, unless there is one to go in for me unto the King, one to appear for me before that King. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, or how does he appear there? He appears there as the mediator of his church. And what is now the purpose of a mediator? That is to mediate, that is to bring together two disagreeing parties. What must then be the work of that Holy Spirit that he is sending forth from the place where he is appearing before God? Oh, then he is sending forth that Spirit, and that he may work in the hearts of men a need for such a mediator, and that he may show a man how that the Lord is angry with him, that he may show a man that there is wrath against him from the Lord, and that he may bring a man to experience, even as the psalmist did, that the thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. Oh, do we ever feel something by the working of that Spirit that he is sending forth from the place where he is appearing, and that we have made a great gulf between God and our soul? And then not only a gulf, Because we can have a gulf, but we go be going on in a careless way in this world and still in rebellion. But that gulf on the one hand, and on the other side, that desire, that hunger and that thirst, as the psalmist did say, as the heart panteth for the brooks of water, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God. So that soul that is drawn unto God, a God who is angry with him in that state in which he has fallen in his first appearance, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Oh, how does he now appear in the presence of God? He appears in the presence of God as the advocate. Oh, is he there sending forth his Holy Spirit to work within your own soul a need for him when he is standing as the advocate for his people, when he is going in before the judge? Is that Holy Spirit working? The children, does that Holy Spirit also show to you in your young life that you have soon to stand, though you are so very, very young, that you have soon to stand before your judge? That you have soon to stand there, and that you will not be able to give an answer that will satisfy God's justice? Oh, there was a woman. We read it in the Bible. As she is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that woman was a sinner. Inside were the accusations. And from outside were the accusations. And they were from all the community. They were from within the church also. And they were also even spoken. And then. Oh, then the Lord Jesus, he opens his mouth and he stands for that woman who could not speak for herself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. And how does he now appear? He appears as the intercessor for his church. He appears as him who is pleading for his church. Why is that necessary? Oh, you say, young people, God's people, the Lord teaches them to pray. Oh, ask them why it is necessary. Because what have they to lay before the Lord? What are the grounds that they can lay before him? But he is appearing. He is appearing as that intercessor. How? Oh, that he may bring that blood as that slain lamb, as that great high priest within that holy of holies to present it before the Father, and so laying grounds, a sure foundation for the supplication for that sinful people. Oh, is that Holy Spirit? Is that Spirit being sent from his presence to work within your own soul a need for such an intercessor or congregation? Does he appear there? Does he appear there also for us? Does he appear there also for me? Does he appear there also for you? Do you need such a representative? Do you need such a mediator, such an advocate, such an intercessor? Oh, it is in these capacities that he is making himself necessary in the life of his people. A people who are made to know that they are not able to appear before God. And he is making himself also known. He is revealing himself in the life of his children in such a capacity so that they might see the wonder of that free and that sovereign grace when he is saying, even as Esther, to that people that are condemned and do not dare to go in, who have no foundation to lay for themselves, I will go in to appear unto the King, now to appear in the presence of God for us, there to make reconciliation between God and His people, and there to pray, Father, I will, that they also whom Thou hast given me may be with me where I am. And He is there waiting. There He is waiting that He may receive the people unto Himself, because precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. And by moments that people, they are also waiting. By moments waiting for that time, that they also may put off this body of the flesh, and this mortal may put on immortality, and this corruption that may put on incorruption. But congregation, what shall it be there now to appear all by ourselves, when you will stand there, and when I will stand there, and when we will have to come before our judge? What will it be to appear all alone? Mordecai, what did he do when he heard that that decree was signed, that had gone forth? Then he rent his clothes, and he put sackcloth on his loins, and he went out in the midst of the city, and he cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Oh, is there a people that may put sackcloth upon your loins that are condemned before the Lord? That was not the only thing he did. But he also sent a message unto Esther, beseeching her that she would go in for them and for him unto the king. May there also be such a people in our midst. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that Thou may also go in for us. For Thou knowest our need, and it is each and every one of us, though we realize it or no, show us we are condemned. And wilt Thou give us to see the blessedness and the preciousness of Thy place wherein Thou art, in that condition and that state in which Thou art, with the marks in Thy hands, Thy human hands, and that mark in Thy side. O, give Thy people a place to beseech Thee, and an eye of faith to look upon Thee, and that great work of the Triune God that was decreed already from eternity, that was accomplished in the time, and that shall also be fulfilled for them. Bring us safely to our homes. Forgive our many sins. Be with us in the coming days. Remember us when we will travel. Be with us where we go in that other congregation, and on Thy Sabbath day, and at our meeting, the curatorium meeting. Remember us in mercy to give wisdom to all the curatorium members. Gladden us with Thy deeds. Remember those who will stand in this place on this coming Sabbath day. Help them too. and be in the midst as one that serveth for Jesus' sake. Amen. 243:5-6. Thou art my Father, he shall cry. My God, my rock of refuge high. My firstborn son shall he be owned. Above the kings of earth enthroned. Above the kings of earth enthroned. 243:5-6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. blessing.